interesting about prison research is it was done mostly on whites, not blacks, because it was considered a privilege. You got like extra money in the canteen or cigarettes if you participated. And we just have to be cognizant of we need research. No one should be stopping it. All of us are probably alive because of medical progress and medical research, but the controls need to be there. And absolutely, people need to know what's happening, need to be heard when they think something is wrong. And that is the most important lesson of all of this.
Susan Reverby, I want to thank you very much for being with us, professor of, at Wellesley College, medical historian, author of Examining Tuskegee, The Infamous Syphilis Study and Its Legacy. That's one of two books she has written on Tuskegee. And we will continue to follow the story and link to all the previous interviews we've done at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Shufa Dokadusa, Armata, Angela Comet, Steve Martinez, Nicole Salazar, Hani Masood, Robbie Karen, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Nagera, engineers. Special thanks to Becca Staley, Julie Crosby, Nick Gilla, Hugh Grand, Jessel Noor. I will be speaking at University of Missouri, Columbia on Saturday night. Look forward to seeing people there, then moving on to Washington and Baltimore. Check our website, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman, our website, democracynow.org. Thanks so much for joining us. Democracy Now! Is a listener-supported grassroots global news hour. You make it possible when you donate at democracynow.org. Thank you so much.
Portions of today's programming on WUSB were made possible by the Cinema Arts Center, 423 Park Avenue in Huntington. The Cinema Arts Center features independent, foreign, cult, and selected mainstream films. For information, their telephone number is 631-423-FILM. That's 631-423-3456.
Yeah, thanks, Ted. It is the 6 p.m. hour. And, of course, you all know what that means. 6 p.m. on Tuesday nights. WUSB, Stonewall. We'll be right back.
And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you. We're going to be going to Albania this week and next week as well, as Kyle and I recollect our travel, which took place this spring to that country and other countries in the Balkan region. When we last left this particular voyage, we were on a train heading from Sarajevo to Belgrade in Serbia. Now, since that point, we have left Serbia and have taken a train out to Montenegro. We'll be recounting that particular adventure. And after we got to Podgorica, which is the capital of Montenegro, we had to figure out how to get into Albania. There is no direct bus. There is no direct train. In fact, there are no indirect buses or trains that lead from one to the other. So we had to figure out how to get into Albania, one of the most mysterious countries in the world. So we'll be recollecting that. And, of course, part two of the Albania shows will air next week. For now, let's listen to some Albanian radio.
Më fole, me sy se çmë për vënove, spante moj që më dërbove.
Dëshironi që një nga ditët tuaja më të lumtura, si dasma, lindja e fëmijës, ditëlindja dhe të tjera si këto të mbeten jo thjesht një kujtim për jetën tuaj, por diçka që të mbeste përgjithmonë dhe ta shijoni çdo ditë? Këtë ju ofron vetëm National Records, e cila vën në shërbimin tuaj kamera dhe operator me të vërtetë cilësor, me një montazh që do ta bënte edhe më të bukur gëzimin tuaj. Gjithashtu ofrojmë DJ dhe muzikën më të bukur dhe tradicionale për dasmën tuaj. Mirpresim kërkesat tuaja në numrin 04-25-61-59. Ju mirpresim për t'ju dhuruar kujtimin më të bukur të jetës tuaj.
Me datë 5 maj, ditën e mërkurë, ora 19:00, koncert i madh recital i këngëtarit Vilbirit të muzikës popullore Vuja Çiçi në sallën e operave dhe baletit. Me titull Një Tiranë nuk bëhen dy.
Një këngë është për ty, një Tiranë është bëhen dy. Një këngë është për ty, një Tiranë është bëhen dy.
Të ftuar special Greta Zani, Reshit Boka, Olta Boka, Shoqëroi në Valle, Recep Çeliku dhe Lili Cingu. Prezanton i mirënjohuri dhe mjeshtri Bujar Kapexhiu. Humor nga i madhi Skënder Sallaku, pa harruar dhe shumë surprize të tjera. Biletat i gjeni në sportelin e teatrit të operas të baletit. Buja Qiqi, ju më pret. Një Tiron, nuk bëhen dy. Ju më presim.
Centrogoma 2004. Ofron për makinën tuaj një kompleks shërbimesh si evitimin e plotë të dridhjes së makinës, konsumim të kesh të gomave, ike në një krah të timonit, drejtimin e disjeve të aluminit, si dhe goma të markave të ndryshme, të gjitha këto me çmime të arsyeshme dhe pajisje të fjalës së fundit. Adresa: Centrogoma 2004, rruga për në Institutin Bujqësor, te sa e Kamcës 200 metra pa shkuar tek shinat e trenit në krah të djathtë.
Celular 068 20 54 380. Centrogoma 2004.
Ndoshta nuk e keni vënë re, por pa ato, ne nuk mund të bëjmë dot në jetën tonë të përditshme. Për kë kam fjalën? Për karriget po flas sigurisht. A nuk janë karriget vendi ku kalojmë dhe shpenzojmë më tepër kohë se kudo? Sa e sa herë ankohemi kur karrige është e parehatshme? Jepi një rëndësi këtij detaji të jetës së përditshme. Zgjidhni një nga 120 llojet e karrigeve Arteno, prodhuesi më i madh në Shqipëri i karrigeve, tavolinave, koltuqeve dhe divanëve. Tek Arteno gjithashtu do të gjeni shezlon, karrige dhe tavolina plastike për pishina, lokale dhe lulishte. Na vizitoni në ambient totalisht rinovuara të Ardenos në autostradën Tiranë-Durrës, kilometri 2, si dhe në Golem. Arteno, mendon për komoditetin tuaj.
Music Life Rio Club. Rio Club hap sezonin e ri muzikor me Music Life. Go! Një ambient i përshtatshëm për të gjitha moshat. Kapaciteti deri në 400 persona. Nga e mërkura deri të dielën. Tek ne gjeni Music Life ku këndon për ju Arben Gjeloshi, si dhe shumë këngëtar të tjerë.
Una leu dieli, shpati e në luqe, dili një erë, oh, moj faqe.
Dhe çdo të shtunë të ftuar këngëtar special. Jo vetëm kaq, tek ne gjeni hapësira për prenotime për aktivitete të ndryshme shkollore, sfilata, promovime të ndryshme e të tjerë. Adresa: Rruga Jordan Misja, përballë Arshivës së Shtetit. Për prenotime kontaktoni në 069 27 27 678. Music Life Rio Club.
Uji oligomineral natural Lajthiza buron në zonën veriore të Shqipërisë, më saktë në malin e Roshit Puk. Ai rrjedh nga lartësia 1600 metra mbi nivelin e detit, e kjo e bën atë të jetë më i lehtë e më dietik. Uji Lajthiza është bakteriologjikisht i pastër dhe antialergjik. Vendi ku ai prodhohet është një ekspozitë e tërë vlerash, jo thjesht natyrore, por edhe teknologjike. Në ofertën natyrore Shqipëria ka disa ujëra minerale dhe ujëra të ndryshme mjekësore. Lajthiza është përdorur për një pije të pastër, ajo tani më është një pije për të gjitha moshat, për sport, në punë, gjatë rritjes apo edhe në darkë. Uji natyral mineral Lajthiza formohet nga uji i shiut dhe dëbora në një proces të gjatë dhe të ndërlikuar, çka e bën atë një ujë të mirë për të gjithë.
Bar, restorant, euro, ambiente tepër komode. Çdo mbrëmje Music Live me këngëtarët TMNZ. Këndon për ju Hajredin Gjeta, Mondi i Vogël, Edmond Cibaku, shoqërojnë në klarinet Geri Voka, në tastier solo Sajmir Ishitit, në tastier shoqërues Haxhi Voka. Por tepër special, zëri melodios, për herë të parë në Shqipëri nga Bullgaria,
Qiko. Tu është bakjoje, dikush qane, dikush qesh, nuk kam paju se
prenotojmë do gëzim tuajnë familjarë. Adresa: Rruga Don Bosco ose më sakt lokali Veliu. Kontaktoni në 069 40 40 560. Bar, restorant, euro.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm sitting here in a street cafe in Tirana, Albania with you, Kyle, and it's one of the weirdest experiences I think I've ever had in my life. I've been to Havana, Cuba. I've been to Pyongyang, North Korea. Albania is a place I've been obsessed with for most of my life just because of the strange history of this place, but we made it. We're here. We're in what used to be one of the weirdest countries in the entire world, and, well, we had planned on coming here, and we did it.
It's amazing. Yeah, this was actually one of the parts of our journey that you had warned me would be the most difficult and new experiences, and we had a lot of challenges doing it, but we've actually made it. And I had absolutely no idea about Tirana as a city, and very vague concepts of Albania as a country. They don't say a lot about it where I'm from in the States, and it's blown me away. But there's a lot that led up to this. It took quite a bit to get us to this juncture, but here we are, and we'll speak more about what we've seen of the city and our experiences here. But gosh, it seemed so hard. It was the hardest leg of our trip. Nothing by train, nothing officially by bus, and you know, I remember sitting on our way from, I believe it was Sarajevo to Belgrade, and we knew we'd spend a night in Belgrade, which is where we're finally going to end up, and we knew, as we've been doing, that we had to plan for the next leg, and in Belgrade we had to find a way to get here in Tirana, and that involved getting to Podgorica. And if I'm correct, we took a bus from Belgrade to Podgorica?
What we did was, last time we spoke, we were on the train heading to Belgrade. And what we were going to do was basically use Belgrade as sort of a slingshot to propel us back out in the direction we had just come from. We had come from Sarajevo to Belgrade. We spent one night in Belgrade, and then we took a train ride that was even longer than the one we took from Sarajevo all the way out to Montenegro, the capital, whose city I keep forgetting. It's Podgorica, was that it?
Podgorica. So, yes, that was a train.
Yeah. And what we did was we took that train, and as you can see, it's quite active here in Albania. Tirana is a late-night city, I got to say. I'm impressed by it. But what we did was we took a train out there, and it turned out it was a train and a bus because part of the track was being repaired. In fact, when we got to Belgrade, first thing we did, and this is how we do things, first thing we did was figure out how to get out of the place that we just got into. So we arrive in Belgrade. It's, what time? Around 8 o'clock at night or something. And we walk up to the ticket desk, and we meet this amazing guy there.
Oh, he was awesome.
This elderly guy who just spoke this amazing English, very well educated, it sounded like. He knew every fact about the train system and just when we would have to transfer and the bus situation because of the train construction. It's just very pleasant. The kind of person you want to see when you first arrive in a city, when you first arrive in a country. And we basically were able to change money next door, and then we were able to buy our ticket from him for the next day. So we had everything worked out. We knew as soon as we got to Belgrade, okay, this is how we get to Podgorica. Podgorica? Podgorica?
Podgorica.
Okay. You know, I can, for some reason, that city I can never remember, because I really never heard of it before this trip, Podgorica, in the capital of Montenegro, which is one of the newer countries that came from the former Yugoslavia. It used to be known as Titograd, Podgorica. So, okay, so we basically went to Belgrade, and we knew how to get out, and that was one of the coolest parts.
He answered every single one of our questions, and we were able to get some rest that night and get a train midday the next day. And you're jogging my memory. It was a train ride, but what I remember most is how we spent some time on a bus. And that was only because they were doing construction on part of the track. And that is how we ended up in Podgorica, is a little bit of a bus ride in between a train ride at the initial part. And we spent maybe an hour.
And, you know, when we take these long train rides, first of all, that was the most grueling part of the journey, because we had just taken a 7.5-hour train ride the previous day. Then we're taking an 8-hour train ride the day after that. So obviously it was grueling to do all this. But when you take these train rides, you meet people and you hang out in your little cabins of 6 seats each with closing doors. And sort of get to know people. In our case, we didn't really get to know people that well, but we sort of got to know their characteristics. There was this one guy who joined us midway through the trip. It's kind of funny because we had sleeping people in there. We had people that came and went, but this guy came in and he had this sort of like a Boris Yeltsin, Slobodan Milosevic look to him. And the first thing he did as soon as he came in was gesture to me to close the window. You can close, lower the windows and stick your head out. It's really a marvelous way to travel. And we spent a lot of time just looking out the window, literally sticking our heads out, seeing what was going on, the mountainous scenery, the lakes, other trains going by. But he would have none of it. As soon as he arrived, he just basically gestured to us to close the window. Not a request, just a demand that this be done. And, you know, you're in someone's country, they're an elder, you sort of feel like you have to listen to them. But, boy, it didn't seem fair.
Yeah, and he was also maintaining control of the sliding door.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
Yes, he had his feet up, and he was controlling the door, and he would open it partially and close it, and he gestured that first time to close the window, and we were sort of yielding to his whim.
And not just once, but several times, because, you know, he'd go to the bathroom or something like that, and, you know, it was starting to get kind of stuffy in there, so I'd open it again, and he'd come back in. It was like it was some kind of, like, a relationship that had developed, like, when he comes back in, that window had better be closed. And I was living in fear of this guy. I didn't even know who he was or his, like, what language he spoke or anything like that. He just basically had developed this dominance over me immediately. And wow, you know, kudos to him for doing it. But boy, it was something else. I was glad when the train finally reached the point where they kicked us all off and put us on a bus, you know, because that's... we were free of that, at least. Although, when we got onto the bus, it was kind of strange because there he was in the front seat, and he's gesturing to us how to get onto the bus as if we didn't know how to do it. I was like, yes, get in. Go in the back of the bus. Like, hey, you know, I never would have figured that out without your help. So, we got onto the bus, and we rode that for, what was that? It felt like several days.
That was a really, really long bus ride. I think... you know, it was a couple hours, but, I mean, buses are really... they're really not quite as comfortable. You cannot get up and stand. You cannot go, you know, stick your head out a window and wave to a whole town as you pass through.
Especially at night.
At night, it's, yeah, even worse. It was, they consolidated the buses at one point. We went from four buses and sort of consolidated into one bus, so it was very, very tight.
That was weird, yeah, because what we did was we were going from Serbia into Montenegro. And then we crossed the border into Montenegro. And again, this used to be one country, Serbia and Montenegro, even after all the other Yugoslav republics had declared independence. So I wasn't expecting much of a border crossing. But after that point, yes, we got consolidated onto one bus, and it was no longer spacious. It was rather crowded. So it sort of changed the mood.
Yeah, it certainly did. And they did make a couple stops. And, of course, the driving. The driving was pretty crazy. There was even a stretch that was completely... gravel, you know, dirt, and it, you know, it's a different way to travel, and it actually was not quite so long, but it was a couple hours in, you know, what was a train ride, and the authenticity of it rang through. Every single one of our conductors from the train was on this bus as well,
and you know, they're not conductors when they're on the bus; they're passengers, so they can't order you around, but they're still dressed like conductors. Although there was that one time when we had stopped someplace, and somehow the bus started filling with smoke. I'm not quite sure what was happening, but something was burning, and people started to take notice of this, that they were having trouble breathing. And that's when one of the conductors stood up in an official capacity and was about to figure out what was going on. But I think at that point, we started moving and the smoke smell went away. But still, you know, it was good to see somebody spring into action.
Yeah, I think he did. I think he got a little concerned because we started kind of looking around, and it was bad. It was that the back door was open, and it was just the way the wind was, and the entire bus filled up with diesel smoke, and it was pretty uncomfortable. Thankfully, there was probably only about a half hour or 45 minutes left, and so the entirety of the bus journey was maybe a couple hours, you know, in sandwiched between the train legs. And then so from there we... and
it's on a mountain pass, too, I should point out. The scary roads, right, on curves with no barriers and just huge mountains. I mean, really, really big, steep mountains that went up for I can't even imagine how high they were.
Well, that's what I meant with the driving. I mean, there were trucks coming in the opposite direction. At one point, you know, he had to slam on the brakes because he just knew it was a double trailer a truck, and he had to stop and let him pass. Amazing. You know, amazing that they know so well. You kind of put your trust in their hands. And
I don't do that. I just close my eyes and hope for the best.
Yeah, grip your seat and bear with everybody else. We did have a couple border crossings.
Just one into Montenegro.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. It was one border crossing, which looked very, very new. And I think you had told me it was because that was in 2006.
2006 is when Montenegro broke away, I believe.
Yes, and the border the offices at that border crossing, they amounted to six intermodal transport containers stacked together, and that was the office building, and it had doors and air conditioning and all sorts of facilities. That was kind of interesting because it was brand new. We ended up at the train station.
Word about the border crossing. But what they do is they take your passports. Well, we were the only ones with passports because everybody else has some kind of document that they just gave. But they basically take everything off the bus, and somebody checks them someplace. We sit around for about 20 minutes, and then the passports and identity documents come back onto the bus. Then we drive through. How long was the drive before we got to the next point? It was. It seemed like about at least 10 minutes. I guess some kind of zone between borders. And then they arrive at the Montenegrin side, and then they take our passports again and take them off the bus, and then they bring them back, and we have stamps. We have an exit stamp from Serbia and an entrance stamp from Montenegro, and then we're in that other country, and we move on. No questioning, no anything. They just basically take everything and stamp it.
Yeah, it is rural enough. They seem to think, you know, or trust that, you know, you're not going to want to jump out and try to start running through the forest and deal with wildlife and stuff. It's up in the hills. It's, you know, windy roads. You're okay. You know, they're just, you know, going to see you at the next stop when you enter.
These two countries really aren't that different. I mean, they were united only a few years ago, and they're very similar culturally. So it wasn't a major border crossing, but they do take the border crossings pretty seriously. But as you said, we arrived back at the train, and there was a different train there waiting for us, and we all got onto the train. And it was it just felt like such a relief to get back onto a train after that harrowing bus ride. And this was the final leg of the journey to get to where we were going, Podgorica, the city I keep forgetting the name of. And so we got onto we picked seats. We just walked through several cars and said, okay, here's a nice cabin. We'll stay there. Nobody else was in it. Until the train started to move, I believe, and then the door opened, and guess who joined us? The same guy. The same guy came back, and immediately, as soon as he comes back into our cabin, he gestures for us to close the window. It's like he sought us out. He was looking for us, and somehow he became bonded with us. And, you know, I expect to see him again, telling me to close the window wherever it is I happen to be, because that is now his role in life, is to do that. I mean, that was bizarre, wasn't it?
It was very, very strange. He once again returned, and he was our cabin mate. And I think he even got into it when he had his ticket checked, and we were sort of like rooting for him.
Yeah, he didn't have
he had to, like, identified with our captor. Or something.
But he didn't have the right ticket, and he got yelled at by the conductor, and he just seemed so sad and like chagrined and being talked down to by the conductor, and he was trying to pay a certain amount, and the conductor was shaking his head and writing a different amount. And just, you know, I would have helped the guy out if he was about to be thrown off the train, but it was basically just. Was trying to buy the wrong ticket or something like that, but still, you know, that didn't take away from his, you know, his dominance over us. He could still tell us to close the window or do whatever it is that they wanted us to do.
Honestly, I think it was more of like a layer of communication he wanted to establish that he had a system for how to travel, and he was putting us on to the right way to do everything, and you know, so it was overall pleasant.
It wasn't
particularly nasty, but
no, it wasn't nasty. It was just this weird relationship develops, and you sort of feel this kinship, and this is a good example of it. He basically came back to the place he was familiar with. And it was, you know, it was nice to see him again. And at the end of the journey, he got off at Podgorica as well. He just said goodbye to us, you know, in English. Which, you know, it's a big deal because it's not his language. We don't know anything of their language. And it was just like the end of a relationship, the end of a journey together. And that means a lot.
No, it really was neat. It was sort of kind of sweet of him just to be like, you know, goodbye. And he had kind of been with us the whole time, but gave us our space. However, he had one stipulation as part of being cabin mates, and we played his game, and he was satisfied. So there we were.
I can sort of understand why he wanted the window closed, too, because we went through so many goddamn tunnels on that trip. I think like it was half tunnels. We kept going through mountains, and there was always a tunnel. And whenever you went through a tunnel, it was very, very loud if the window was open, and also pretty cold.
Yeah, and sometimes there's even humidity and water dripping, and if you keep your head out, you can kind of get sprayed by stuff, you know, that's dripping and that kind of thing in some of those tunnels. So, I mean, he had a good sense of what the trip was like, but there we were in Podgorica, and we had picked out a place that was very, very close, and thankfully it was, and we were able to waltz right over to where we were staying that evening. We dropped our stuff off, and then we ventured out. We needed food. We needed food very badly, and the woman at the reception, it was a small place, the woman offered even to make us sandwiches, which was very sweet, and we said, you know what, hey, we'll hedge our bets, we'll get out, see what we can find, and it was Friday night in Podgorica, so there was a lot of young people, a lot of people out, you know, eating food, lots of loud clubs, just people out on the street, and once we actually found how to get to the sort of the central part of town, we were able to just walk around and we looked for a place to eat, and I noticed, it was amazing, I noticed, I felt like I had shrunk a little bit, and I don't know what it was, I just was walking, and we were kind of looking at different places and selecting, okay, that one looks good, but we'll come back, we'll find another one, go to the end of this, go down that street, and kind of see what there is, but I noticed I was feeling smaller, and I didn't quite understand it.
Was it the guy kept asking us to close the window that made you feel smaller?
No.
Wasn't that. It was something else. What was it?
The giants of Podgorica.
Yeah, you noticed this. I didn't notice it right away, but you mentioned it. And I said, yeah, I don't know. And then I started looking around, and I realized, my God, you're right. Everyone here is huge. Everyone here was like well over 6 feet tall, and I couldn't figure this out. I mean, it's true, right? All the males seem to be abnormally tall in Podgorica.
And these are teenagers, like, you know, late teens, early 20s, young people out partying, you know, having a good time. And it was simply amazing. We felt like we were being eclipsed by these giant folks. I felt really, really short because everybody seemed to be, you know, slender, tall. And Podgorica has its own sort of high fashion a little bit. They're sort of trendy, you know, and obviously it's Friday night. Everybody's wearing their, you know, their best. So you see, you know, these you know, people just waltzing around, you know, doing what they're doing on their weekend. But gosh, did I feel small. I felt so short. I don't know what it is. The water, it's something about the way people come up. I don't know what it is, but it was amazing to marvel at that. And as soon as I pointed it out, you were right with me. You absolutely knew what I was talking about because it was so glaringly obvious.
Yeah, it was freaky. It was like a basketball team was in town or something. And then the next day, we were walking around in Podgorica and Montenegro the next day, doing various errands before we took the trip to Albania. And you pointed out another example of this. You said, look, that kid's like 8 years old. And literally, there's somebody walking down the street with the face of an 8-year-old, but it was 6 feet tall. It didn't make any sense. It was scary.
A prime example, you know, on a Saturday. I mean, it was just an echo of what we had seen the evening before, it was amazing though. I once that coming into places in the evening, I think we'll talk about this. We've seen this as a recurring thing. Coming in the evening, you don't have your sea legs yet, and you're adjusting, you've got bags, you're trying to get places. So the next day it was, you know, much more relaxed, and we were able to just cruise around and take things in. And we noticed this one kid that was just so tall, and that was actually during our fact-finding mission about the lack of the lack of postcards.
Yeah, well, I mean, you say you were relaxed, but I wasn't relaxed because I just want to do something simple. For some reason, this happens to me occasionally, or quite frequently, actually, where I'm trying to do something very simple, very basic, but it turns out to be impossible, and it winds up becoming extremely stressful. And the one thing that I've been trying to do is send out to a couple of people postcards from every one of the republics that I visit. And so, you know, I've sent one out from Croatia, from Slovenia, from Bosnia, and I want to send one out from Montenegro. Send out a postcard. We were only there for one day, so all I had to do was find a postcard, write out, you know, whatever it is I'm going to write on the postcard, and mail it. And, you know, it's usually pretty simple. We could not find a single place anywhere in the city that sold postcards. In fact, we were trying to explain the concept of postcards. We went to one store, and they had, you know, birthday cards and greeting cards of all sorts. Well, not of all sorts, a very limited selection, but still, we were trying to explain, you know, what a postcard was. And no, it's just complete blank stares and, you know, pointing to things that are clearly not postcards. We went all over the town looking for these things. Literally, it turned into an hour-long escapade of trying to find this one very basic thing.
And we did get the same answer. Pretty much every single time we asked for a postcard, people would either not understand or they would say, oh, yes, the post office.
And the post office was closed because it was May Day. And yes. May Day is a very important holiday in these parts. So, we couldn't really get to the post office because it was closed. We couldn't really find any place that sold them. So I wound up basically sending a birthday card to a friend of mine or some crazy greeting card and saying this was going to be the postcard from Montenegro because I could not find one anywhere. It's just really crazy that was the case.
Pap, Matrix. Kënaqësia dhe zbavitja mban emrin Matrix. Çdo gjë me një dekor magjik, çdo mbrëmje, muzik live, këndon për ju, Elta dhe Odeta, shoqëruar nga balerina, i ftuar special, këngëtari Aldi. Pap Matrix, një prej prenotime për parti shkollash, ditë lindjesh, e të tjerë. Adresa, rruga Mjerë Grameno, për balvin i bashkis 1-2. Kontaktoni në 068-20-99-929. Fustane nusërie ju marë. Nuk keni menduar ende për një fustan nusërie që të mbetet gjatë në mendin tuaj, tashmë është një zgjidhje. Fustan me modën e fundit, vetëm tek ju marë. Ne ofrojmë për ju fustane me çmime tepër konkurues, por japim edhe me qira. Fustane nusërie ju marë. Një fustan që do të mbetet gjatë në mendin tuaj. Adresa, stacioni i fundit në kombinat, tek Lulishtja. Kontaktoni me ne në 04-2-352-400. Si dhe 068-22-28-616. Fustane nusërie ju marë.
Freddy Company ju ofron gjenerator të gjitha markave prestigjose evropiane. Lombardini, Perkins, Mitsubishi, Sharp e të tjerë. Nga 1 deri në 1000 kW me shumic dhe pakic. Gjeneratorët e tregtuar nga firma Jon janë të certifikuar me certifikatën ISO 9001-2000 nga 6 muaj deri në 2 vjet garanci. Tek ne do të gjeni stabilizator nga 2 deri në 205 kW. Saldatrice, UPS, pompa lavazhi me motor, monopas, trefazor të gjitha llojeve. Pirujnë të markave Nissan. Tek firma Freddy Company do të gjeni 5500 lloje artikujsh. Për më shumë informacione, kontaktoni në telefon 04-23-57-738 dhe celular 068-20-92-531 ose na vizitoni në autostradën Bor Pushkruj, kilometri 7. Reklamoni biznesin tuaj në 93.6 MHz. Kontaktoni në 04-2-25-6159.
Po dëgjoni Radio Nacional.
Radio Nacional, muzika më e mirë shqiptare vetëm në
93.6
MHz.
Vetëm në 93.6 MHz.
www.nikolala.com
nuk ishin dot, kisha baje fantazi, nuk se bukur e kerteri. Një qitmi oro me pas, hiq ma shumë s'muk ishin dot, kisha baje fantazi, nuk se bukur e kerteri. Ah, falet e ambla, po qështi fitoj, e tan bota ole mbar, për do po luftoj. Bale, 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 që fitoj, ash i gjore, u sheko, gjepin e fjot, as nje probleme nuk pasop.
So then, okay, we knew that I think it was 2 o'clock. We were going to meet a cab. We worked this out with our hotel. We were going to take a taxi to the border between Montenegro and Albania, and the thinking was that we could do that, and then walk across the border, and then catch a bus to Tirana, the capital of Albania. That's basically, through looking it up on the internet, through reading various books, that seemed to be the only way to do it. There was no direct bus route. There was no direct train route. There was no other way that we could figure out to get into Albania. And so that's what we decided to do. We walked back to our hotel after the fruitless search for a postcard. There was a taxi waiting for us. We checked out of the hotel and climbed into the cab.
And this was some foreshadowing, because we started to take some you know, different modes of transportation. And I do want to comment a couple things about Podgorica. The driving is a little different. You must be wary. Cars and the streets in general, I do want to say. The people are very nice in Podgorica, and it is, as I said, a little bit high fashion. There's the center of town's really nice, but in some places there's no sidewalks. We knew that right off the bat. And in some instances, when you're crossing the street, you don't necessarily want to be paying attention to the signal. You want to pay attention to the cars, because they take allegiance in any given instance. So you really have to watch where you're going. At any rate, this was the beginning of some automobile journeys that proved to be quite interesting and shaped some real growth in my world on this trip. It was amazing. So this was a taxi cab driver who was sort of waiting for us. They had him there as we had planned, and we got postage. I believe she was going to help us send those cards that you were sending after we had walked around a little. And
I think a motorcycle's coming out of the cafe. That's interesting. Our waiter just came out of the cafe with a motorcycle that's running, and I guess that's it for... Yeah, well, no, I turned it off, but I wasn't expecting that. The taxi, we had agreed, would cost 25 euro to get to the border between Montenegro and Albania, which I think was about a half-hour ride or so. And so that's what we did. We took this ride, and it was kind of a crazy ride, too. The road wasn't in very good shape. We didn't really see any other cars on it. Very narrow road through mountains. And
in a luxury car. This is a much newer Mercedes, and it was quite nice. You might call this like an executive limo if you're in the States. But this is probably this guy's, you know, bread and butter. And he was very, very courteous. We asked him, you know, do you speak English? And he said, no.
And that was it. That was the whole conversation.
Yeah, the rest of the ride.
I was kind of relieved, actually, because, you know, it's something I hate worse than long, awkward conversations with people you really, you know, don't want to really have long conversations with. And we basically just rode, listened to the radio, and didn't really say anything. So, yeah, it was pretty straightforward. Pretty much like we said, we got to the border. We suddenly saw a sign for the border, and there we were. And he makes this big U-turn right before he gets to the border. And, of course, I knew he wasn't going to go across the border himself, and got our bags out, gave him the 25 euro. And then, you know, I gave him a 5 euro tip, and that's when he started to open up and give us instructions on what to do on the other side, which was kind of cool. And he said that, and of course, no, with no English, this is a bit of a challenge right there. He basically was giving the names of a city that we would take another taxi to and then take a bus to Tirana, which is pretty much what I expected would happen.
Yeah, our impression was that we were going to be walking across this border. And that was, again, this was one of the trickiest parts of it. Am I correct? I mean, we had sort of, you know, we'd anecdotally heard what to do, and we were very confident that it would work, but we didn't think that we would be met with the next opportunity.
Well, what I had understood was that we'd walk across the border and then catch a bus. He was telling us that we should walk across the border and then get a taxi to another bus, or to a bus that would take us into the capital city.
But then there was a taxi driver that had a Mercedes station wagon that was, you know, he was cleaning out the trunk or something, and he started speaking, you know, in the native language,
Albanian
at this point, yeah. And they converse and share and arrange something, and, you know, we're putting our trust in their relationship and knowledge of, you know, how the culture works as far as transport and whatnot.
But we didn't really know. We just knew that something was being arranged to get us across the border. And this seemed like a good thing because, okay, we're not going to walk across the border now. This guy is going to take us in his car and he'll take us to the next step. We don't know what's going to happen at the next step, but, you know, we have somebody else looking out for us now.
And I will say right now, this is the beginning of some growth. This is just the beginning, the tip of the iceberg of that kind of waiting and listening and not getting irate and letting your imagination run wild. Just being calm and open and waiting to see how things play out, because this grew and more of this happens. But I won't get ahead of ourselves here in the story. The guy that had the station wagon speaks to our original taxi driver, and they arrange something. He then, I believe there was a transaction in there, but he, the second taxi driver.
Look at him go. Wow. No helmet either.
The second taxi driver said, put your bags down here in front of this car.
Yeah, he didn't say it quite like that. He just basically motioned and said words that I'd never heard before.
And I don't know exactly how the money went. I think you explained that, or you will.
It was 5 euro each, and he asked for 5 euro from me, 5 euro from you, and it was pretty simple.
Right, but as soon as the handoff was made, that taxi driver made some calls to somebody else, a third driver. Mm-hmm. And he said, wait. And that's when we put our dip bags down in front of his car. A second silver Benz rolled up about 10 minutes later with two people in it. And apparently not enough room in the trunk, because the second older Benz rolled up with the two people in it. And the Red Ben's guy that we had been handed off to, he pulls a spare tire out of that guy's trunk to fit our bags in now the third Mercedes. And as it turns out, that third Benz was the car that we were going to take across the border. And we put our bags in and get in. So now,
at that point, looking at, there are basically three people in this car. There is the driver, and then there are these two other, look like local people. And I believe I said to you at that point, this is about as dodgy as it gets, because here we are about to get into a car with three people. We have no idea who they are. We don't speak a word of their language. And the car is all decrepit, and we're going across a border, which is a pretty scary border, at least for me, because I had never, you know, dreamed of going to this country before. This is not the time to argue about a price. It's not the time to say that you want some other arrangement. This is what happened. This is what presented itself to us. And, you know, we're together. We're pretty much aware of what's going on around us. So it just seemed like, yeah, this is the opportunity that's presented itself to us. Let's run with it and see what happens.
Yeah, you're cool as a cucumber. By the way, it's hot out. And so I'm thinking to myself, okay, this is local life. These people obviously know each other. At worst, maybe we're going to get robbed. But I was really, my imagination was starting to run wild. And, you know, we'd been with we'd been at borders, we'd been with customs people, but this is a border. We're getting into a car 3 degrees separate from a hotel, and this is my thinking. I'm very new to this in a very strange country, and this amounts to being kidnapped, in my opinion. And we pile in and approach the border, and, you know, in each new situation, and again, this is maybe midway through the iceberg, you get a new layer of comfort. You're like, okay, this isn't so bad. And so we're in line, and everybody else is getting their trunk examined. So our driver of this car with the two local people from Albania, our trunk gets searched as well. And I'm thinking, okay, they're not going to go through our bags necessarily. They're looking for people or something. Yeah. And it was very quick. Every trunk was checked quickly, and slowly the cars moved up. And then I did note that our driver had two ignitions in his Benz. I want to know what is wrong with his Benz. I've worked on Benzes before. He has two ignitions. Why does he have two ignitions? It's zip tied below the other one. That's a question I want to put out.
I didn't even notice this, but you were going on about the two ignition keys, eh?
Well, he only has about a quarter tank of fuel, and so he's stopping the car and restarting as we move up in the line. And so, be that as it may, we do get to the border guard, and he seems to know him. And so, there are glints and glimmers of comfort, but you really have to shed the layer of previous, you know, imagination or preconception and be ready for whatever new challenge may arise. So here we are at the first border. He seems to know the guard from past experiences. Very indifferent.
The exit border in Montenegro.
Absolutely. I'm sorry. Yes, the exit border from Montenegro. And he hands him all of our passports, which he had collected, and as well as his. That went fairly smoothly. We were then on our way to the next border stop, which was separate by at least half a kilometer, or at least a couple of meters.
It was within sight of the first one. Unlike when we went from Serbia to Montenegro, it wasn't separated by miles. It was separated by a few meters, I think. We could definitely see it. So it was just basically inching ahead in the line.
Right. And then we approached the second one, and I did notice that he shuffled our passports just under his for the entrance to Albania. Don't know if it means anything. I'm not saying we're special, but he did still have the stack, because obviously we have to get in, and so he knows he's got to show the passports to another layer of border control. So then we reached the second border crossing, and that took a little longer. That guy seemed to be taking his time. Obviously, we're entering a new country, and but you know, ultimately, we got through. But it was very obviously a new country, and in particular, I'd say the roads were full of potholes. And mind you, we don't have a spare tire.
So, not anymore, not because of our bags.
Yeah. So as soon as we got in,
well, the first thing I noticed,
yes,
getting in was the welcome sign, and this basically said in big letters, "Welcome in Albania." And I knew at that point I was in Albania. And wow, that was a moment right there.
Para dita, tundi moitundi, ai é malita. Moi vai zaches, quando para dita, tundi moitundi, ai é malita. Os conheço, bom é por bandila, tundi moitundi, ai é malita. Os conheço, bom é por bandila, tundi moitundi, ai é malita. Tundi ai malita, tundi mai bata te florita, tundi mai tundi ai malita. Os conheço como é barbandila, tundi mai tundi ai malita. Os conheço como é barbandila, tundi mai tundi ai malita. Balsamita, tundi moi tundi, ai malita. Balmi balsmi balsamita, tundi moi tundi, ai malita. Os conheço por mai por bandila, tundi moi tundi, ai malita. Os conheço por mai por bandila, tundi moi tundi, ai malita. We'll be right back.
Fat Kids, another Tuesday night on the radio, WUSB, Stony Brook, Finn's Revolution. Finn with you right here till the 9 p.m. hour. Tonight, whole bunch of new music, whole bunch of old music. There's a surprise, right? New and old, plus tons of tickets to give away. So stay tuned.
I say I got to make it all. Then I want more. Sometimes some people say, if you don't have a get on you, I'll say,
baby, I'm fucking letting you.